In the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said this. He said, "Now these things occurred as examples." What was he talking about? He was talking about the forefathers who went through the Exodus, men and women of the Old Testament. And he said, "Now these things occurred as examples." He's talking about the stories, the events, the people. And he's saying that God gave us these stories, these people, these events, in order for us to learn something. And that's why I'm returning to that sermon series, ROTC, Revealing Old Testament Characters. And our Old Testament character for today is King Asa. He was the third king of Judah. Now that was in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel. And Asa reigned in Jerusalem for 41 years. That's quite a legacy, isn't it? Some of you can identify, can you not? Some of you have been there and done that, right? 41 years. We read about him briefly in 1 Kings chapter 15, but we read about him in more depth in three chapters in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapters 14, 15, and 16. In both of those places in the Bible, his story begins really well. It says, "Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord God." Brothers and sisters, if anybody ever writes my biography or yours, I hope that that sentence is there. That we did what was good and what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Those are wonderful words, are they not? Now, what did Asa do that earned him such a wonderful accolade? 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 3. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. Now, there's an even more graphic description of that in 1 Kings. This is what it says there. He expelled the male prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his father had made. He even deposed his grandmother, Makah, from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. What's an Asherah pole? An Asherah pole is a wooden representation of the female goddess of fertility. She was depicted with her exposed breast held by her hands out and up as if to say, "Touch me." And people would pray to her for fertility. And they would place this Asherah pole right by the places of worship, right by the entrance to the places of worship. Can you imagine if we had our own sanctuary and someone placed a statue of a naked woman by the door of our sanctuary? How repulsive that would be! That's exactly what they were facing. It was terrible. Some of the kings were in favor of this. Some of the queens were in favor of this, including Asa's own grandmother, who was a queen. King Asa, however, said, "Even if it is my own flesh and blood who has done this, it will be no more." That took real courage. Can you imagine the family dynamics that went on in his family after he stripped his grandmother of her authority? God rewarded Asa for his courage and his obedience and his commitment to doing what is right. It says in verse 6, "No one was at war with Asa during those years, for the Lord gave him rest." In the next verse, it says, "They built and they prospered." God honored them. Now, let's take a moment to think about this. Have you ever faced the dilemma in your life of having one of your relatives do something repulsive or wrong or evil in the sight of God? I know many of you have. I've heard from some of you that you have. I've heard some testimonies right here in this pulpit that some of you have experienced that. Some of you have been abused by family members. And some of you have had to take a stand against evil in your own family. Or perhaps you need to take a stand against evil in your own family. That takes real courage. God rewards those who are committed to doing what is right. Yes, your family dynamics may hit rock bottom as far as you can see, but somehow, sometime, in some way, God will reward when you do what is right. Verse 4, Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. And he also gathered all of the sacred items that had been dedicated to the Lord, and he restored them in the house of worship. He was committed to maintaining holiness and purity in the place of worship of God. Oh, how I wish we could say that of all of our churches today. In 1 Kings it says, Asa's heart was, listen to these two words, fully committed to the Lord all his life. Now there's another passage that I hope is in my biography and your biography, that you and I, they say of us, they see in us, that we are fully committed to the Lord. Asa's reign was blessed for decades by peace. But you know the Middle East. It never remains at peace for long, does it? Eventually some wars broke out. And even though Asa had 300,000 men in his army, it was a bigger army of Cushites that was coming against him and his people. And so the battle seemed weighted in their favor. And in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, Asa did what many others did in the face of similar circumstances. He prayed to God. No, he pled with God. He said, or it says, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And you know what happened? God delivered them from this enemy that outnumbered them. It says in verse 12, the Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled. We've said this many, many times and in many, many ways. When we need help, there is no better person to call upon than the Lord. No better person. Almighty God. You might remember we even talked about his phone number a few weeks ago. Jeremiah 33:3, which says this, call to me. This is God speaking. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you the great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Put that number in your memory dial. Call upon the Lord. That's what Asa did. He called upon the Lord. And among these three chapters about his life in 2 Chronicles, this first chapter tells us primarily that he was a man of integrity. He was a man of honor. He was a man of faith. Now let's come to the second chapter of these three, chapter 15. And it begins with an inspiring story. Here it is. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Now listen to what he said. The Lord is with you. When you are with him. That is a very encouraging and strengthening promise of God for us. The Lord is with you when you are with him. Are you with the Lord? What does it mean to be with him? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in the middle of a conversation with someone and realized that you weren't really listening? You don't know what they just said? Most wives would say, been there, done that. I've witnessed that many times. If that ever happened to you, you were not really with them. Your mind and your heart left. You were physically present, but you were not tuned in. God is available to us all the time, but listen again, the Lord is with you when you are with him. Let's hear it this way. The Lord is with you when you are really with him. Really with him. We are weak. We wander. He does not. He is a solid rock. Now the prophet continued speaking to Asa. He said, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Do you seek the Lord? Are you really with him? Do you seek the Lord? What does that mean? Well, here's an answer from the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 22:19. Now, set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. And it's echoed in the New Testament in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. How do you sum that up? I would do it in this word. Focus. Focus. Focus on God. Be really with him, your mind and your heart. On what do you focus most of the time, some of the time, lots of the time? Really focus. Where do you set your mind? Is it in your work? Well, no, I'm retired, Harry. Well, was it in your work when you were not retired? Is it in improving your golf game? Is it in your hobby? Is it in a novel that you're reading right now? You can hardly wait to get back to it. Is it in some TV show that you're following? You can't wait to see what happens next week. Is it in your spouse? Is it on your health? Or is it on the Lord your God? On what do you focus your mind and your heart the most? If you set your mind and your heart on the things that are above, you'll discover that the omnipresent God never left you. He never left you. He's right here. Right here. But when you set your mind and your heart on the things of the world or the things of the flesh, you are forsaking him, and he will forsake you. That's what the word says. Now we're going to discover that illustrated in the life of Asa a little bit later. The prophet concluded his inspiring message to him, however, in verse 7, saying this, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard these words, he took courage. You know, I had an experience that I could identify with these words. I was going through a valley in my life. And I had a wonderful privilege of meeting with Cliff Barrows at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. We spent hours together, and I poured out my heart to him on the valley I was going through, and he was my counselor. I may have shared this with you before. It seems like maybe I have. And I said, do you have any advice for me? And immediately, instead of telling me what he thought I ought to do or asking me what I thought, what I thought I ought to do. He quoted God's word to me. And this is what he quoted, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. The song earlier said, clap your hands before the Lord. It just made me want to dance for joy. I was so encouraged by God's word coming from him that day. That must have been the way that Asa felt. He must have felt extremely encouraged by what this prophet was telling him. Be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. God wants to help you. He wants you to be strong. He does not want you to be discouraged. He does not want you to give up. He is not only omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful. And we need to be reminded of that over and over. That's one reason that we come every Lord's Day. We need to be reminded and refreshed about the power of God and how much he loves us. Now the second chapter about the life of King Asa concludes with a description of his going out into all of the countryside, throughout the whole country, not just Jerusalem, and removing all the detestable idols and repairing the altars of God. And he brought all the people to Jerusalem, where they sacrificed thousands of cattle and sheep and goats. And it says that they eagerly committed themselves to seek the Lord with all their hearts. I love that. That's an energy drink. They eagerly committed themselves to their God. They blew trumpets. They shouted. It was a revival. That's one reason I chose that anthem today. It's a revival, that anthem. God was pleased with them, and their wars ceased for decades. Have you ever been in a revival? Have you ever had a revival in your life? Some of you Baptists are saying, well, of course, we had one every year, right? Some of you former Presbyterians are saying, revival? What's a revival? Hopefully all of you know what it is. Have you ever been in a situation where there was an altar call and they asked people to come forward and dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ or rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ? Some people did it eagerly. Some people almost ran. Some people were quiet and slow and full of awe, and they waited, wondered, do I really do this? They come. Some are crying. Some are laughing. Some are holding hands. Every single one of them, no matter how they came in that altar call, felt that their zeal for God would never diminish. But you know what? When you come away from the fire, the coal begins to get cold. And it happens to each and every one of us. Roller coaster, hot and cold for God. All of us need to be revived. Now I'm going to move to the third and the final chapter of Asa's life. Verse 1. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, 36 years as king, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Just when it seems like everything in life is going smoothly, God has a way of bringing somebody or something into our lives as a test. It interrupts everything. For King Asa, it was a provocation from another hostile ruler, Baasha, the king to his north. For us, well, it could be just about anything. It could be a biopsy. It could be surgery. It could be losing a job. It could be having your best friend stab you in the back. It could be a death in the family. Just about anything can come along and interrupt life. Now, to make matters worse for King Asa, the king of Syria that's a neighboring country, had a treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, and they were very friendly. What was Asa going to do? You would think that he would handle his situation the way he had for 36 years. You would think that he would do what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Nope. Instead, he took the silver and the gold out of the treasures of the Lord's temple, and he sent it to the king of Syria as a bribe. And with this request, verse 3, now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me. Asa did not turn to the Lord, he turned to money. He saw strength in money. He bribed the king of Syria. And the money he used came from the Lord's temple. That would be like my going down to the bank and taking your tithes and offerings out of the bank and using them for myself. Now don't worry, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. There's no way I would do that, even if I could do that. But that's what it would be like. But that's what he did. Well, the king of Syria accepted the bribe. He broke his treaty with the northern kingdom of Israel, and that took care of Asa's problem. Good. Problem resolved. Now Asa can go on enjoying his happy reign as king. Nope. God sent another prophet to him, and here is part of what he said to Asa in verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. That includes us. To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing. And from now on you will be at war. When you honor God, he strengthens you. When you dishonor God, there are consequences. Now, one would think that Asa, this man who knew God's strength and his power and his blessings all these years, would have clothed himself in humility at this point. But in the next verse, we read this. Paul, this is not what it says in the next verse. That's one of the things we've talked about. The people in the kitchen don't realize what's going on in here. You may tell them if you'd like. Thank you, sir. In the next verse, we read this. Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. You know what that says to me? That says to me that Asa is now no longer a young man. He is now an old man. And he's become proud. And he's become defensive. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but what is wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever become defensive? It's not pretty sometimes, is it? Even if you were justified, your defensiveness can destroy what is precious to you. It's hard not to be defensive, especially when you think you're right all the time. But of course, nobody is right all the time. Sometimes we cannot see the whole picture. We think we can, but we just cannot see it. We get defensive. Back to Asa. I'm afraid I'm going to talk about me and RB. Back to Asa. If Judy had been here, I might have taken that a little further. You know? Yeah, right. No, I won't. Back to Asa. Here's the next verse. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease of the feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Been there, done that. Have you ever had a foot problem? Oh, it affects your whole body. You begin to favor one side over the other. Your spine gets out of alignment. Your hips get out of alignment. You get headaches. You get migraines. It affects your whole body. It interrupts life. It's a test. But whether it's your feet or your head or anything in between, God says, seek me. Asa did not. God does not say, don't seek physicians. But he says also, seek me, do you? When you've got a headache, when you've got a problem, do you go only to doctors and only to the drugstore and only to pills? Or do you also seek the Lord? Do you seek him first or do you seek him last? 3 years later, Asa died. He did not end well. We don't know exactly what took his life, but what we do learn is that even when we spend most of our lives walking closely with God and doing what is good and right in the Lord's eyes, we can still not end well. Not end well. We can mess it up in our old age the way Asa did. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. No matter your age, let's don't mess it up. Let's don't let that happen to us, to you, to me. So, here are some of the life lessons I want to take away concerning Asa's story. Stay the course. Stay the course, brothers and sisters. Even if the obstacles that are in front of you seem overwhelming, complete the race. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Focus on the Lord. It's not how many storms you weather when you're out there. It's getting the ship to the harbor safely. Unlike Asa, let us all end well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will build us up, strengthen us, and every year that we add to our lives, and every struggle that we have in our lives, that we will grow stronger in the Lord, closer to the Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that all of us will stay the course, do what is right and good, and end well, so that when we meet you, Lord, you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing.